Welcome back. It is time for my favorite hour of the week. It's time for My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Todd Wilcox. The show is brought to you by Tractor Supply. And today, we have a really cool guest. He goes by Dada, the Monk Dude. I'm not even going to try to say his last name. I will have him say it for us. I've tried and tried, and I know I'm going to butcher it. My wife has a unique name, and I know how important names are, so I'm not going to mess that name up. But we have Dada the Monk Dude, and he's going to talk to us about meditation and what it can do for us, what it can do for the community, what it can do for the world, and just help us be better. I know what my perception of meditation is. I'm really curious to talk to somebody that's practiced it for decades and taught it to thousands of people and seeing what meditation is really all about. So that's going to be a good time. We've got some other great guests lined up as well. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking to somebody about spirit, animal spirit guides. It's going to be a lot of fun. Really a good time of year to get out in the woods and meet your spirit guide. So we'll hopefully learn how to do that in the next week or two. Be sure to go in and check out our sponsor, Tractor Supply. Look at the various things they have. I am just blown away by the 4health brand dog food. I've told you about my dog, Calvin. We did lose him, and I'm not going to talk about him anymore. He was a great dog, and the 4health really gave him two fantastic years. He was in bad shape when we gave it to him, and he had a health problem that couldn't be saved. But the 4health brand helped him in so many ways, helped his joints, helped his stamina, helped his teeth, helped his breath, helped his intestinal tract. He had diarrhea before we put him on that, and that stopped. It was just a great thing for him. And so try 4health. It's the number 5 biggest selling brand in the United States, and it's only sold in Tractor Supply. So that gives you an idea of how strong the brand is. 1,600 stores, got it to number 5 nationwide. So try it out. The new dog, Hobbs. Obviously, if you have a Calvin, you have to have a Hobbs. Hobbs is a puppy, and he's on the 4health as well, and he is doing fantastic. He's growing like a weed. He has tons of energy. And it's not that crazy puppy energy. It's pretty crazy, but it's also restrained to an extent because there's no sugar in this food. Many of the foods you buy at the grocery store have sugar in them, and so the dogs go a little crazy when they eat it, and then they have that letdown. You don't see that with the 4health. They have good, steady energy, but it's not the crazy energy. So try the 4health brand. I think you'll really like it. And we'll be back on My Side of the Universe with Dada the Monk Dude on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Welcome back to My Side of the Universe. Today, we have Dada, the Monk Dude, joining us. He is a yoga monk, meditation instructor, author, keynote speaker, and he's even appeared on stage with the Dalai Lama. He's taught or appeared in 40 different countries, and we get to have him on the radio today. Dada the Monk Dude, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for inviting me on, Todd.
I'm excited to have you here. Real quick before we get started, I want people to know that they can find you at themonkdude.com. And they can also check out blisstimer.com to get some information about what you do as well. As we started getting together for this interview, I wanted to ask you, just, you know, we'll ask you what you do and all that, but learning how to meditate correctly, I think, is a very important thing. A lot of people think they're meditating, but, you know, really all they're doing is maybe relaxing or maybe spacing off, or for like me, I end up falling asleep. I've never been able to meditate for more than about 5 minutes at a time without falling asleep. So hopefully by the end of today, we'll learn some techniques on how to stay awake during meditation and also learn the important parts of a meditation so that we do it correctly.
Sure, I'd be happy to help you with that. That's what I've been teaching for more than 40 years.
Yes, so you've been at it for 40 years, and you teach different companies. You teach all kinds of people how to meditate. Maybe just start off telling us how you got involved in meditation, what piqued your interest, and then why did you start studying it?
Well, I grew up in New Zealand, and you might be able to tell that from my accent. I was at university. I was just 19. And I was actually an atheist, and I had no interest in anything like this. But then I was interested in, to a fairly modest degree, experimenting with drugs. So I took LSD, and the second time I had a very, kind of eye-opening, mind-opening experience. And the reason I took it seriously was that the first thing I realized from this is that I should never take drugs again.
Good call.
So, because I had this big, you know, a lot of people have experienced that in the 60s, 70s, this was. But most people sort of went on taking drugs or thought, okay, this is, drugs are a lot of people thought that drugs are some sort of doorway to higher consciousness or understanding. What I realized was that drugs is the thief. It's like a thief stealing something, but you never earned it.
Okay.
So I realized that, okay, I shouldn't take drugs. I should meditate. I should practice meditation, because what I did understand is that there is some other level of awareness or consciousness that's really, it can be really beautiful. It can be frightening also if it depends what's inside you. But for me, it was really great. And but I thought, okay, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to do this the proper way. And I started studying, reading about Buddhism and mysticism and Christian mysticism and yoga and Taoism and Zen and all of that. And I really went into it seriously. I found it really helped me to find a kind of inner balance and inner peace and a sense of meaning and purpose. And I think it's helped me to become a better person, to develop my potential.
Very. And so you went, you actually went.
I stayed in India. I sort of left everything behind and ran off to India and became a monk and a yogi. And then since then I've been amongst sort of Green Buddhist Science, different parts of the world. We're a worldwide social service and yoga and meditation mission.
Very good. So for, most people at least think they know what meditation is. I think I do. But why don't you tell us exactly what meditation is and what it does and what are the reasons that we would want to meditate?
Sure. So let's start with the benefits, because that's, people want to say, okay, why am I going to bother? What am I going to get out of it? Well, there's a big list. I've got 100 benefits of meditation. And while I've experienced a lot of these myself and many people have over the millennia, it's interesting that recently, a lot of research has been confirming this, kind of objectively. So we've got thousands and thousands of studies confirming that meditation helps with stress. That's kind of almost a no-brainer nowadays. Certainly helps you to manage stress, helps people to deal with anxiety. It can even help with depression in many cases, helps with sleep disorders. So there's a lot of, it can lower blood, it can help regulate blood pressure. I have people being referred to me by their doctors, people with high blood pressure or stress-related issues. So it's a really good natural way to regulate these kind of physiological functions. But it has a whole lot of emotional and psychological and spiritual benefits as well. So a lot of people find it even improves their relationships because they're less inclined to become angry or to react without thinking. They're more able to see the other person's point of view, maybe more patient, so it develops empathy. That's one of the big things that comes out of it. One that really interests me is that I found that meditation helped me to connect to the creative part of myself. So I'm a musician and a writer, and this is very important for me and I'm sure for a lot of people. So it develops creativity, clarity, focus, improves decision-making. So there's a ton of things. And then spirituality, if that's something that you think is important, it can really help you to be more self-aware. I mean, I've taught Catholic priests and Buddhists and Jews and Muslims and Hindus and all kinds of people and atheists. Prisoners and priests, is what I usually say. Spectrum. And people find that it helps them to understand themselves.
Okay.
On the deeper level.
Understanding ourselves and spirituality, I really like the way that's going. And when you said even atheists, are they looking for something, or were they just trying to find out more about themselves? What were they? What was their motivation for it?
Well, everybody's different, so it's it's hard to answer that clearly. But you know, people come to me usually with problems. You know, I live in Silicon Valley. It's a very wealthy part of the country, but you know, not everyone here is wealthy, firstly, and secondly, whether you're wealthy or not, people have got problems, and they're usually emotional, and or something to do with health, and so people often start at that point. So whether they're an atheist or not, it's not really relevant at that point. Some people come to me with a specific spiritual objective in learning meditation. They want to come to understand themselves better. They want to understand that they're seeking the truth, or that they want to develop a deeper relationship with God, and it can help with all of those things, I think, as well. But really, many people's initial motives are almost mundane, but they're important.
Very good. And your training, what did that consist of? How many years were you there? What kind of things did you do during your training?
So the training, not for the faint of heart, I think would be a fair description. it's a very disciplined kind of program we follow as monks. We meditate. In our training, we're meditating four times a day, and it was for 6 hours a day, roughly. And we're doing yoga, about an hour and a half of yoga every day. A lot of study. We're studying Sanskrit scriptures and all of that. There were a number of stages. It's hard to say how long it took, but from when I started in 1975 to when I was ordained was 4 years, about. The last part of that I did in Nepal and India. But a lot of that was field training. The majority of that was field training. We'd do a three-month sort of retreat, kind of intensive. And then we'd go out and be teaching and doing service work out in the community, and then we'd come back and do another training. And then I did some more advanced training some years later as well.
Very good.
But the last week is very interesting. And the last week we live eating for your food, we had one meal a day, and it was actually an amazingly liberating experience. I didn't expect quite to be like that, but it was very freeing. And also, I found that, we'd say this kind of Sanskrit prayer, Hari Om Tat Sat, so you're saying, Lord, we praise, or something like that in Sanskrit. And during that week, not a single person refused to give me anything.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
That stayed with me. I mean, you can imagine. And this is a poor country, Nepal, poor country. So that really stayed with me. I thought, wow, if these poor people, even if they gave me a little bit of rice or just 5 paise, which is like 2 cents, nobody said no.
Wow. And do you think that was from your I'm trying to picture what was causing this, and maybe it was way beyond anything I can picture, but I guess your intent, and then you probably had a way about you that week. I'm just curious, what do you think caused that they were all so receptive to you?
It was nothing special about me. It was about them. It was their culture.
Okay.
The culture is they have a deep culture of charity and supporting spiritual aspirants. They knew I was a monk. I was dressed as a monk. Even though they probably thought it was pretty strange, he was a rather a slightly more chubby white monk. They thought not what they were used to, but nevertheless, they thought, okay, this is our tradition, and I thought it was very touching.
Very good. And then once you learned meditation, you started teaching it immediately, or were you doing other things after that, after you were ordained?
So after I was ordained, then I was actually assigned back to Australia, which is kind of close to home. And there I was running our local retreat center, organizing events, sometimes organizing fundraising for our service work in other countries, and then I was teaching meditation, teaching classes and individuals. And then I became more and more involved in the music side of our mission. So I was posted after a couple of years in charge of the kind of music division. So I'm spending a lot of time writing and recording music and touring and we actually started a very small music label.
Oh, very nice. And how many, so do you have various records out there now that are yours, or did you do it, did you record for other people?
No, I mostly recorded, I've recorded 8 albums, most of it's my own music. There's one that is all, I just produced it. Those are the songs written by our founder, our spiritual guru. He wrote a lot of songs. He wrote more than 5,000 songs in the last eight years of his life.
Wow.
So we made a really beautiful recording of some of those in India with Indian musicians. So I didn't play on that one, but all the other ones I'm singing or playing about.
Okay. And are those available on your website?
Yeah, some of them are. Some on my website, on CD Baby, on Amazon, all those places.
Very good.
YouTube, iTunes, of course.
Yeah, it better be on iTunes, huh? All right, well, it's just about time for a commercial break. We will be back in just a minute with more of Dada, the Monk Dude, on My Side of the Universe with your host, Todd Wilcox. Welcome back to My Side of the Universe with your host, Todd Wilcox, on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We are joined today by Dada, the Monk Dude. I just love the name of your website, the Monk Dude. Dada, maybe now's a good time for you to tell our audience, what is your last name?
Oh, sure. So, Dada is just, it means brother. So, like a monk would be called brother this or brother that. So, my actual name is Nabhanilananda. It's a little challenging, which is why I adopted the brand name, the Monk Dude, because people can remember it.
Yes, we can certainly remember the Monk Dude, and I've already failed with your last name. I apologize for that.
No problem.
All right. So before we went to break, we talked about what is meditation. So can you tell us what is meditation and how we do it?
Sure. So, I've talked a bit about the benefits, but how do you get those? That's the interesting part, I guess. So, meditation is a kind of concentration. So, what it involves, there are lots of different types of meditation, but I'm going to speak broadly, and then I'll tell you a bit about the technique that I recommend people start with. So, as I said, meditation is a kind of concentration. It might involve simply sitting straight with your eyes closed, focusing on your breath. And the important thing to remember is that other thoughts are almost certain to come, and you'll find yourself distracted and your mind will wander. That's perfectly normal. So don't imagine that you're going to be able to sit there and close your eyes and suddenly find inner peace. It doesn't work like that. And don't kind of make it another thing to worry about. You know, I said, oh no, I'm stressed now because I can't meditate properly. Rather defeats the purpose. So, the first thing, the very thing I want to emphasize is that, you know, if you sit and you try to concentrate and your mind wanders, that is super normal.
Okay, because mine does. Thank you.
That's right. It's great. It means you're human. It means you're alive. They're all good things. So by trying to concentrate, and whether you're focusing on the breath, that's actually not what I start with. I teach people to focus on a mantra. So that's a word or a phrase, usually in Sanskrit. But it gives you a point of focus. So when your mind wanders, you've got something to come back to, and you kind of know what you're supposed to do. So we use this mantra, and you're training yourself to concentrate. And it's kind of like doing push-ups at the gym. As you do it more, you gradually get better at it. In the beginning, it's a little difficult. And if you do it every day, it becomes easier. And you find after a while that your mind becomes more still, you feel more peaceful, and your concentration becomes better.
That's what I need.
Yep. So, one of the technique I teach includes a mantra, and now there are two different ways we teach mantra. So there's what's called a universal mantra. I'll tell you what it is, because it's, you can write it in the sky if you like. This is public. It's Baba Nam Kevalam. It's BabaNamKevalam. And if you search that on YouTube, you'll find hundreds, maybe thousands of free recordings you can listen to with music. So music is really helpful. What we do in a group, especially, normally we'll sing the mantra together, and there's a lot of beautiful musical productions. Some of mine are like this, and some are songs. But you can listen to the music first, so the mantra is going in your mind. Then you then the music goes away or fades away, or you turn it off or you stop singing. And then you use the same mantra and you focus on it silently. So you're repeating it in your mind. And the idea behind the mantra is, it's a kind of an idea of universal love, universal peace. So you're trying to tune into a place within yourself where you feel limitless peace or limitless love. And that's it, in a sense. That's in the beginning. That's like the first stage. And you can, I often have people practice that for a few months before I teach them a personal mantra, and that's something taught one-to-one by our teachers, and we teach that for free. And after that, there are other techniques, but the mantra technique and the music before the mantra is the kind of key at the beginning.
Okay, and then that helps you get focused and concentrate on what you're doing and finding that good space internally.
Yeah, exactly. And as I said, the mind wanders, that's fine, you bring it back. It's a bit like training a dog, you know. It wanders off, you bring it back. It wanders off, you bring it back.
I wish I could train my mind that well.
What you don't realize at the time, you think, I'm not very good at this, but it kind of doesn't matter. You're flexing those mental muscles, and it changes you in a subtle way, and over time you really begin to feel, wow, I feel better, I feel calmer, I feel happier. You know, one of my favorite pieces of research around this is, There's an idea in psychology, which is one of the only ideas in psychology that's pretty much universally accepted, and that is that we have a baseline of happiness once we reach adulthood. For children, it's different, but once we're adults, each individual has a kind of a baseline of happiness, which they pretty much becomes their default for their lives. So if something nice happens, somebody gives you a present or you get a promotion at work, you feel better for a few days, but then you come back to this baseline, kind of, you're drawn back to it. And if something, unhappy, you injure yourself or something, for a while you're going to be frustrated or, feel bad, but then after a while you come back to where you were. But they discovered that the only way of shifting this baseline of happiness upwards through time is meditation practice or similar. And that's been verified by a ton of research. So it's pretty dramatic that there's a way of we can actually make ourselves happier through our lives in a consistent way, and that's through this kind of practice. And whether it's contemplative prayer or it's one or other of the types of meditation, they all seem to have this effect.
Okay. I love the idea of that, of being in a better place consistently and being able to raise it. When you're meditating and you're doing the mantra, is that your focus to just clear your mind, or are you actually searching while you're doing the meditation? Are you searching for something?
Well, you're letting what I do, I tell people to feel that the mantra is coming from inside you. So it's not that you're using your will to repeat the mantra, but it's kind of like you're listening to your inner self singing to you. So that has the effect of directing your attention inward towards the source of awareness, or your soul, if you think you have such a thing, which I think we do, but not everyone believes that. So it's simply a focus on the inner self. And so you see, so the mantra is coming from that place, and you're directing your attention inward. So it is a kind of a search, but it's with a focus that helps to draw you inward. And with this idea that within us is, well, it's a simple fact anyway, that love comes from within us. We know that already. We want to go to the source of it.
So I'm manager or whatever you want to call, from me coming through. When you meditate, are you setting an intent? Are you setting a goal of what you want to find? Or are you just allowing what needs to come to you to come to you?
Well, the only intent is to continue focusing on the mantra and to feel what's behind the mantra, the meaning behind the mantra.
Okay.
Beyond that, I would suggest try and be free of expectations.
Okay. That I guess was the question I was fumbling around trying to ask and not quite knowing how to phrase it. So just set yourself free of expectations and let it happen.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing to have a goal, but the goal here is simply to repeat the mantra and connect to this inner source of love. That's it.
Okay, I think I can handle that. how long will people typically do this mantra and do the meditation?
Well, so I would suggest a goal that you might build up to over several months. I would suggest a goal of 20 to 30 minutes twice a day. Now, that's quite a big chunk of time. But in the beginning, you might just start with, 5 minutes.
Okay.
I know somebody started with 2 minutes, but she's military personnel, so she's super disciplined, and she was a kind of equivalent of a colonel in the Australian Air Force, so she was pretty tough. But she found she couldn't concentrate, so she just started with 2 minutes, but she built it up, and now she can sit happily for an hour. So that took a while though, but I would start off with a few minutes, but the most important thing is to do it regularly.
Okay.
Try and build up to 20 minutes in the morning, and when you've got it regularly happening in the morning, maybe add a second practice. It works better if you do it twice a day. And also, the time of day is important. You should practice before eating. It's difficult to meditate on a full stomach.
Okay. So, empty stomach. Very good. And, Dada, you were talking earlier, as we've talked briefly, the Bliss Timer Project. Can you tell us what you're doing with that?
Yeah, this is my pet project. I have a tendency to take on things that are kind of I know nothing about. figure them out as I go along.
Me
it's
too.
It's worked reasonably well so far in producing music and publishing books and videos and so forth. But this one was initially proved a little harder than I thought. We're making a phone app. So this is, coding and that is something I really don't know anything about. But fortunately, I have a little team of people who do. Some of my students have taken it on as, to handle the technical side of it. So we're creating a phone app. It's called the Bliss Timer. And the idea is to take some of the best music that we have, the recordings, and set up these a phone app where you can create your own guided meditation. So you can choose the music you like with the chanting. You can choose whether or not you want a spoken guided meditation leading you into it. And then you can choose how long the silent meditation is. So you can tailor make your own daily meditation practice. You can, and then you save that. You can make as many of those as you want. And it's going to be free. So the idea is to make this simple mantra-based music meditation practice available to many as people as possible for free.
And that's available at blisstimer.com?
It will be when we've finished building it. The blisstimer.com is the website, but at the moment that's the fundraising campaign. So you've probably heard of crowdfunding.
Okay.
We're doing a crowdfunding campaign for it right now, and we've raised about half the money, and we need to raise some more. So if anyone wants to find out how it works, you get a walkthrough on the page of exactly how it's going to work, and you get rewards. So it's actually a way to get my music and my books and my online meditation course at a discount, because that's the stuff that I give people as rewards. So if someone wants to get, like, my online course is normally $100. It's an 8-module course. It's quite comprehensive. But if somebody contributes $100, they get the course plus my book plus a bunch of my music and my gratitude.
Oh, very nice. So they get everything and help the cause. So that's a great way to go. So they go to blisstimer.com to help with that.
Yeah.
Very good. And we're going to be going to break in just a minute, and I know I'm putting you on the spot. I didn't ask if this was okay, but maybe could you just show us the mantra, if you could say the mantra for us the way that we would want to say it?
Sure. So it's pronounced Baba Nam Kevalam. I want you to repeat that back to me, make sure we got it clear.
Baba Nam
Baba, right.
Kevalam.
Kevalam.
Lam. Kevalam.
Yeah. Baba Nam Kevalam. But if you want it with the music, then you can either, if you For anyone that, even if you donate $5 to the Bliss Timer thing, you'll get plenty of, we'll be sending out some guided meditations and all sorts of other stuff. But if you go to YouTube and just search that mantra, you'll get lots of really nice musical recordings to choose from.
Okay. Excellent. Baba Nam Kevalam.
Very good.
All right. So I will be practicing that. I'll be now. Here's a question. As I'm driving later today, is it okay to practice this? You know, obviously I won't be closing my eyes, but just practicing the mantra, is that okay during something that you have to concentrate on other things?
Yeah, it's fine actually. Because you know when you're driving, driving tends to, especially if there's traffic, it tends to make you tense, right?
Oh yeah.
And what I actually recommend people listen to some of the music that with the chanting while driving, and a lot of people really like that because it just makes their car more like a little safe haven of peace rather than you're stuck in this a little bit aggravating environment.
Yeah, it's
the music, the chanting is fine while you drive.
Okay, good, and it'll stop that competitive spirit, and I can actually enjoy a drive instead of wanting to beat
everybody. It'll
probably
make you a safer
everybody.
Driver. I don't, there's no studies on that, but I might do that.
Yeah, I think it probably will. I will give that a shot today. I've got about a 2.5-hour drive in front of me, so I will be trying that as I drive. We're going to be back with more of Dada, the Monk Dude, on My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. in just a moment. Welcome back to My Side of the Universe with your host, Todd Wilcox, on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We are still joined by Dada, the Monk Dude. I just love the name of that. You came up with a fantastic name for your website and nickname and something that people can remember easily. I know sometimes when we have people on, people forget a name or maybe part of a website. I don't think that's going to be a problem this time. The Monk Dude is an easy one to remember, so you did well picking it.
Well, a friend of mine came up with that, actually. He's a really good musician. He's played with a lot of great stars like Carlos Santana and Whitney Houston and Herbie Hancock. And so he's actually a real dude. And he started calling me the Dude Monk. So I figured if he says I'm a dude, then I'm a dude.
Yeah, I'd say he would be the one that would be able to bless that name and make it official. So. Very good. Now, Dada, you're doing a lot of work with businesses. Can you tell us what you're doing to help businesses get better?
Sure. Well, I'm not so much interested in helping businesses as I am in helping people. And of course, many people work in companies. So, in this area where I live, there's a lot of big companies like Apple and Google. They're kind of up the road, 15 minutes away from here. So there's a lot of people working in tech. And it's very competitive. A lot of very bright people, of course, it attracts a lot of talent. But they have the same problems as everyone else does in their sort of management of their mind and their emotions and being able to optimize their mental performance. They tend to be very interested in that because, these are people who are, a lot of them, sometimes I'll be speaking to a room full of PhDs, they're all far better educated than I am. But they still need to know how to manage their overthinking. They're kind of thinkaholics. And when I mention that, they all kind of nod knowingly and, a little ruefully, they can't control thinking too much. And that actually creates ongoing stress, which can become quite serious if it's not addressed. So the primary motive that I find in people wanting to, in the tech industry and wanting to learn meditation is to manage stress. And there's some really cool studies showing how meditation has improved their bottom line. It saves the company thousands of dollars every year for each employee. So you multiply that by the number of employees and they can save millions of dollars if it's a big company just by, helping their people manage their stress. But there's another side to it. They found in the study I read about from Aetna Insurance, the big insurance company, they did a big study of meditation program amongst their employees, and they found that it improved their output, their productivity, and they estimated that it added about $3,000 a year per head to their productivity, to their output. So they figured, okay, this is something we should be investing in this for our employees. So I teach meditation and creativity for companies like Google and Facebook and NVIDIA and Lam Research and a lot of smaller companies.
So with the creativity portion of this, are when you're doing the meditation and you're working on being more creative, do you think it's you're tapping into better creativity, or do you think you're removing so many distractions that you actually have access to the creativity?
Well, they kind of come to the same thing. What a lot of people believe who sort of study creativity and you know, pretty much any of us who experience it, we feel like it's something inside us that we don't always have access to. Like we usually only get glimpses of it, and it often comes when we're in the shower or when we're just walking in the forest or when our mind's at rest. That's when we get our ideas, right?
Yes.
That's most. So, well, that's a big clue. When the mind's at rest, when we're not thinking too much, that's when ideas come. So the what meditation does, of course, is help your mind to be more rested and helps you to think, you know, to reduce the number of unnecessary thoughts, which kind of naturally makes it easier to get access to this source of creativity inside ourselves. So it's kind of both things you said. You know, by removing all of these unnecessary thoughts and turmoil, by removing that, you can see more easily into the deeper part of yourself, and that's where the ideas come from.
Very good. And what kind of results are you seeing as you're teaching people? What kind of breakthroughs are they having personally and business-wise?
So I teach there are two pieces to the creativity training I do. One is the meditation part, and that's more what I call the long game. So what that does is over time, and it might take months, it might take even longer, over time it definitely gives you greater access to your own source of creative thinking. So I have had even in a couple of months, which is that's usually the length of the course I run, it's a two-month program. Even in that short span, people notice that because I am meditating with them once or twice every week, and mostly they start practicing at home, especially if their company's paying a lot of money for this program. They sort of feel like they're obliged to. But the other part of it I teach is more a series of quick fixes. So there are things you can do. This is more psychology than meditation. There are a number of simple techniques that you can use to help you to manage your thinking so that you're not kind of blocking yourself. And sometimes it's as simple as this. You know, I learned this from other people, the famous comedian John Cleese, or the writer, English guy from Monty Python, remember him?
Absolutely, one of the greatest.
So he's a great creativity teacher. He actually teaches creativity for corporations. And I met with him a couple of years ago. We had a great conversation.
Wow.
It was pretty, kind of a thrill. He's, you know, one of my certainly one of my comedic heroes.
Absolutely, yes.
He teaches this thing, what he calls open and closed thinking. So I kind of borrowed this from him, but it's an old idea. And one of the parts of that is, you know, if you're stuck in a problem or there's something you can't solve or you want to come up with something original, it's just not happening. A really good way to deal with that is before going to sleep, really try and get clear on what the question is. So you got to define the problem very clearly in your mind, and you know, think about it for a while. And okay, you may not come up with a solution, but then go to sleep, and often you'll find when you wake up in the morning, the solution is there. So you're allowing your unconscious mind, your subconscious mind, to figure it out while you're asleep. Now, what could be easier than that?
You know. I find many times I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning with the answer to something.
Well, not necessarily. Well, that happens, of course, but often it's just when you wake up in the morning, you've had a good night's sleep, and you find, oh, it's kind of obvious what the solution was.
Yeah.
You know, the greater part of the mind is the unconscious part. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But we're aware of the surface part, the conscious mind, that's the smallest part. There's much more power in the depths, from our intuition. And so what we're doing here is simply making sure we get the question clear and then allowing our unconscious and our subconscious to figure it out while we're sleeping. So that's one little technique that is not guaranteed to work, but it often works. And then there's a whole, I've got a dozen others that I help people to use. So they've got a little, a quiver full of arrows that they can use when they're stuck on a problem or when they need to take a new approach to it. So I teach those, but I also teach meditation as the way of, over a longer period of really raising your level as a creative individual, which simply means that you're more readily able to get access to your inborn creative inspiration. And we're born with it. We know we're born with it because children, you know, five-year-olds are about 48 times as creative as adults.
Oh, some of the things that come up with it are fantastic.
Exactly. They're a fountain of ideas. So we were all like that, and it's still inside us. So what the meditation is doing is helping us to reconnect to that part of ourselves.
Now, I had a gentleman on, we were talking about lucid dreams, and we talked about meditation, and he was telling me that there's people that are able to make their dreams lucid, so they're taking control of their dream, and then they will meditate during that, and it's almost an explosive, and I know that's the wrong way to describe meditation, but it increases the power of the meditation so much that it's almost like an explosion. Have you talked to anybody that's done meditation during a lucid dream?
No, I haven't actually. That's an interesting thought. I don't know a lot about lucid dreaming. I have meditated. I have found myself. I've woken up and found that I was meditating in a dream. And the interesting thing was that it kind of worked. Like when I woke up, I was in this sort of meditative state that I would normally be in if I in a deep meditation. So it is possible to meditate in a dream. The idea of inducing that through lucid dreaming, that's pretty interesting. I haven't really explored that.
Yeah, it just seemed like a very nice, like you said, the quiver, the arrow for the quivers, just one more thing to add to it. And then with the meditation, do people go inward or can you go outward? Is there like an out-of-body experience component that goes with meditation at times?
When I teach someone a personal mantra, so that would be sort of stage two, we teach a visualization where you're withdrawing your attention from the world and withdrawing your attention from the body and focusing on a particular point, one of the chakra points or sort of nerve centers, if you like. So that's really a withdrawing of your mind from the world. We don't deliberately induce, in the meditation we teach, we don't deliberately induce sort of out-of-body experiences. You may sometimes, if you do this really deeply, you may sometimes lose awareness of the world around you or even of your body. That happens sometimes, but it's not the main goal. It's simply a way of allowing the mind, freeing the mind to so it can go inward.
Okay, very good. And I wasn't sure if those... And again, it's sometimes, Hollywood has some idea of something. And I know I've seen people in movies and TV where they will meditate and then do have some kind of experience. And I wasn't sure if those two really interacted or not. And so I was curious about that. And hopefully the listeners were as well. But again, it's my show. I get to ask the questions. And so whatever's on my mind, I ask. So we're just about out of time, Dada. Is there anything that we have not addressed that you would like to talk about before we go?
Well, yeah, just quickly. I think that ever since I was young, I thought that if human beings were nicer to one another, we could make a better world. And so in our meditation practice, we very much believe in the idea that, if we want to be, the best kind of human being we can be, it's not just about meditating and finding inner peace. It's about helping other people as well. That's part of our growth. It's part of our reason for being here. So a big part of our mission, our yoga mission, is social service. So I was just in a conference with 40 other monks and nuns like myself and about another 130 practitioners, and we had a big conference. And some of the work that some of our people are doing in different parts of the world just blew my mind. One of our nuns, she's been for 20 years been in Haiti, which is the poorest country in this hemisphere. And she's just incredible. She's started four big schools, more than 1,500 students going to these schools, and a children's home, and the kids are just, they really develop, you know, a really wonderful new life. They're orphans. And then they got these medical programs and refugee programs. It's incredible. And this, at the heart of this is this one really small, very unassuming nun. She's from Spain, and she's amazing. And it kind of blew my mind. And it messed me up a lot, because I was trying to raise funds for my Bliss Timer project. And she didn't even ask anybody for money, but everybody wanted to support her projects, including me. She took the wind out of my sails, but I was glad.
Well, and that just kind of shows where she's at with what she's doing when it gets that kind of support. So that's amazing, and it you just know that it's right when that kind of outpouring happens, I would imagine.
Yeah. We do get a lot of there's a lot of funds that go into Haiti, but there's such a huge need. I mean, she said more than what she said. You know, Haiti is just an ongoing disaster. It's a tremendous need for real support there, and yeah. So she's shining. I mean, she's just doing this fantastic work, and it's very, very heartwarming.
Very good. Well, Donna, thank you so much for joining us. I hope to have you on again. This has been fantastic. And I believe the listeners will be practicing. I will be practicing tonight, and I'll definitely keep in touch to let you know how things are going and what we're doing.
The Bliss Timer app. We're releasing the Bliss Timer app in November, so maybe that'll be a good time to give it to everybody so they can practice with it at home.
Outstanding. We will get back to you in November. I'm just making a note right now so that we can help with that launch. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been Dada, the Monk Dude, on My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. All right. And once again, the fastest hour of the week has gone by. Thank you for joining us on My Side of the Universe on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I had a wonderful time with Dada today talking about meditation and how to meditate. And I'm going to be doing some driving later today, and I will be doing that meditation. I think it's going to make the world a better place to have me meditate. Baba Nam Kevalam. And I'll be practicing that, and I'll be saying it. Hopefully I'll be feeling good by the time I get where I need to go tonight. Meditation is something that I've always tried to do. It's been more of a guided visualization it's just me falling asleep, trying to focus on breath and falling asleep. So I'm going to try the mantra, do the things he talked about, and see if I don't have a much better experience. Check out his website and use the things that he has there. And then in November, we'll have him back on talking about Bliss Timer and what a wonderful app for the phone. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting our sponsor, Tractor Supply, and the different things they have. And it's a good time to buy stuff right now for your home, for your farm. Great prices on feed, great prices on food for your pets, great deals on lawnmowers, on tractor parts. If you need three-point equipment, great place to get it. Really good competitive prices. Always competitive prices at Tractor Supply, and they'll even match prices. So if you find it less expensive somewhere else, they'll match that price and make sure you have a good experience. So stop in and see the folks at Tractor Supply for your 4health dog and cat food, and also the things you need for your home and your farm. Thank you for joining us every week. Next week, we're going to be talking to Dr. Farmer about animal spirit guides. I can't wait. It's going to be a blast. So join us next week on My Side of the Universe with your host, Todd Wilcox, on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I almost forgot. You need to remember that you matter. Unless you multiply yourself by the speed of light squared, then you energy. See you next week on My Side of the Universe.